That was a little bit low key. I know it's 9 o'clock and I know it's the first Sunday of the year. How's everybody doing? That's a little bit better. We're getting going. Happy New Year to everybody. If you have a Bible with you, go ahead and turn with me to Joshua chapter 4. If you don't have one in hand, maybe on your device, let me encourage you to grab a Bible that is under each chair in this room today. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 4. I don't know if you had this moment yet, but sometime this week it hit me. It's 2026. I mean, that just seems wild to even say that, is it not? It's 2026. I had this really specific memory come back to me this week. I was in elementary school, about 10 years old, and I remember a teacher telling us that the Olympics were going to come to Atlanta. Does anybody remember that? Some of you were not even alive. But the Olympics were coming to Atlanta, and I remember that I actually pulled up a picture from the Atlanta Journal. It was September 18th, 1990, and I remember doing the math right there as my teacher told us this, that I would be 16 when the Olympics came to Atlanta. I remember that specifically because I thought, man, I'm going to be old. I'm going to be driving. I'm going to be like this old man by 1996. And it hit me this week as I thought about that. We're stepping into 2026. I mean, 3 decades have gone by. 3 decades of life have passed by. All of the birthdays and the graduation and all the life events, all the adulting that has taken place over these past few decades are behind us. And I say that what I'm trying to tell you is something that is simple, but it is pretty heavy, and it's this: life flies by. Life flies by. It goes so quickly. And some of you feel that deeply today. You look at your kids and you think, man, I know you're driving your own car, but you used to be in a car seat. You thumb through those pictures like I did this week and think, was that really 10 years ago? I mean, you step into 2026 with this mix of excitement, but also this ache because you realize life is flying by. And most of us, in the midst of that, respond in a very predictable way. We just keep looking forward. We plan ahead. We set new goals. We stack up new commitments. It's a new year, right? We got to have some new resolutions, a new plan to go harder, to go faster. And every voice around us is saying, next up. What's the next upgrade? What's the next season in life? What's the next achievement that you're going to be aiming for? And please hear me this morning. Planning is not bad. I hope you have some goals for you going into 2026. But if all we ever do is look ahead, then we'll end up experiencing this sort of spiritual amnesia. We will forget. We'll forget the prayers that we prayed that God really did answer. We'll forget those days that we didn't know if we could take another step and His grace carried us literally into the next day. We'll forget how God moved in power in very unexpected ways. We'll forget how even in the ordinary days of life, God's grace was sufficient. We'll forget. We'll forget. And when we forget God's faithfulness in the past, it becomes really hard to trust Him with the future. But in God's word, He calls His people to do something very different. Before He leads them forward, He often calls them to stop, to look back, and to remember. Not because He wants you to get stuck in the past, but because He knows our tendency is to forget what He's already done. And when we forget, our faith shrinks and it becomes harder to trust God with what's ahead. That's exactly what's happening in Joshua chapter 4. God's people are standing right on the edge of the promised land. Behind them is 40 years of wandering. In front of them is the promised land. And in Joshua chapter 3, they had just crossed the Jordan River at flood stage. That might not sound like a big deal to you, but let me explain to you this. Scholars agree that there were probably millions of people in Joshua chapter 3 standing in front of a river that was at flood stage. It was impassable. But God did the impossible. And as the priests step into the river with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, God causes the river to stop. And millions of people cross over into the promised land on dry ground. And if I were writing the story, I would probably at that point say, well, okay, great. You got about 0.3 seconds to give a fist bump because we got some enemies ahead of us. You maybe have time to give a high five, to give a little bro hug or whatever it's going to be, but we got some things we're facing right ahead of us, and we need to start planning, we need to start thinking, we need to start strategizing about what's ahead. But God doesn't do that. God does something very different. God calls his people to stop. The whole nation to stop. And he gives them specific instructions in Joshua chapter 4. Read with me beginning in verse 1. The word of God says this: when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe of man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in a place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord, your God, in the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan. And according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and they laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant has stood, and they are there to this day. I love this. Go back and get 12 stones. 12 men, one from each tribe, are told to go back into the riverbed, right where the priest had been standing, and each of them are to carry out a stone on his shoulder. And then they're set to set the stones down and stack them into a pile. And God says, you're going to need this. Because one day your children are going to see this pile and ask, what do these stones mean? And you're going to tell them about the day that the Jordan River dried up, so that they will know who I am. And so that you will never forget what I did. And you will continue to trust me every step of the way. These stones, listen, were memory markers. They were physical reminders of a faithful God in a very real moment in their story. And here's why this matters to us here today. Because right here at McLean Bible Church Loudoun on the first Sunday of 2026, we are the same kind of people, oftentimes forgetful people, living in a fast, forward-facing culture. We're already thinking about what's next, are we not? We're already thinking about how we can achieve the next accomplishment, how we can step into the next goal. And it's easy for us to lose sight of what God has already brought us through. And we need a physical reminder to help us remember, but also to teach the next generation. Because God has carried some of us through some really difficult waters in 2025. Listen, some of us, God has carried through some really hard times. Some of us, we certainly have experienced the victories, and God has given us those victories. He's carried us through those waters. But some of us, listen to me, have experienced some significant setbacks in 2025. Some of us have been on mountain highs, and others of us have traveled through valley lows. We're not gonna have time for everybody to give a testimony today, but I will tell you this, if we could just take all afternoon and pass the mic, we would hear about big decisions that were made in 2025. Decisions for your future, decisions for your family, decisions for your life that set a trajectory over these coming years. Some of us would tell the testimonies of incredible joys in 2025. About your future, about maybe a new job or new friendships. I think about the new engagements, even the weddings that were performed on this very stage in 2025. Babies were brought into this church family, spiritual breakthroughs that you thought maybe would never happen. And some of us have passed through diagnoses. Some of us know loved ones who have gotten a diagnosis that completely changed 2025. I was standing right here on Christmas Eve, and I looked over to my left, and I noticed my friend Chris was here on Christmas Eve. 2025 was a year that was marked with a battle of cancer that he didn't know if he was going to make it out. He didn't even see it coming. He was young and healthy, beautiful family, and one phone call changed all of 2026. Some of us have walked through doubt. In 2025, we wondered whether or not God was even there. Some of us walked through dark places that we didn't even see coming. Anxiety, depression, struggles, maybe hidden struggles that no one even knows about. We've passed through these waters, and what I'm telling you today is that all of these different stories have the same reality. God has been the one carrying us through. God has been the one carrying us through. And if we don't stop and remember his faithfulness in those places, it will be very hard to trust him with whatever 2026 brings. So I believe today God is inviting us to pause, to look back over 2025, and to stack some stones of remembrance of God's faithfulness. Today is what we're calling Testimony Sunday, as we look back on all God has brought us through in 2025. Now, to be clear, I'm very excited about 2026. Y'all, I'm talking about really excited. In my prayer time this week already, I've set some goals. I've asked God for some big prayer request already. I believe 2026 is going to be a year of blessing. I believe God is going to meet us in very personal and powerful ways. I really believe in my heart right now that there is somebody walking in darkness right now, that the last thing on their mind right now is to be in church worshiping the living God. That's the last thing on their mind. But by the end of the year, they're going to be joining us, having been baptized, and they're sitting here worshiping the living God. I believe that's going to happen in 2026. I believe that marriages are gonna be restored. I believe some of you are sitting right now thinking, man, I'm not sure if we're gonna make it another week, and God's gonna meet you right there, and he's gonna restore marriages. I believe prodigals are coming home. I really believe it. I believe that some of us have been praying for people that we love so dearly, and God has heard every one of those prayers. And I believe this is a year that many prodigals will come home. I'm telling you, I believe it. I'm excited about 2026. I believe some of you are gonna step into leadership roles that you are fearful of. You are a little bit worried that I don't know if I got what it takes, but you're gonna find the courage that God gives you to step into some leadership roles and begin to lead out in this church family to see the mission move forward. I believe that's gonna happen in 2026. I'm so excited about it. But before we get into all of that, Can we just stop and look back and just remember God's faithfulness in 2025? Let's just take one Sunday to look back and to stack some stones of remembrance so that our faith can be strengthened. Listen to me, so that our hope can be deepened, so that our courage could be renewed for whatever God has for us in 2026. In a few moments, you're gonna hear from some in our church family, just ordinary people, living ordinary lives, but serving an extraordinary God. And you're gonna hear how God met them in specific ways this year. You're gonna hear about how God met a lady in the midst of her life falling apart, and she didn't know how she was gonna move forward, and God met her in those waters. You're gonna hear from a mom whose heart had ached for a long time and years of praying for her daughter and how God met her in that. You're gonna hear from a family who started out in 2025 and could not have even imagined the twists and turns that God was gonna have them take. But God saw them through each and every one. And I want you to know that every one of these stories are stones that in a lot of ways are meant to do three things for us today. You might wanna write these down. Number one, these stories are to help us remember who God is. To remember who God is. Not just remember what we went through, but who God has shown himself to be. In verse 7, God says, "These stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." They are to be a visible reminder of what is said later in chapter 4 in verse 24, where he says, "The Lord's hand is mighty." That's who the Lord is. And these stories, these testimonies, in a similar way, remind us that God is still strong, that God is still moving, that God is still near. And I love this because many of us need to be reminded of that today. This is not cold religion that we're going through. This is steps of faith. This is worshiping the living God who is still powerful. He's still on the move, and he's still drawing near to the brokenhearted. We need to remember who God is. But also, number two, to pass the story to the next generation. To pass the story to the next generation. Twice in Joshua chapter 4, the next generation, the children, are mentioned. In verse 6, when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? And then in verse 21, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? See, our faith today is not just for us. It's also to be passed down to the next generation. These stories of God's faithfulness are to be passed down because they help us talk about God's faithfulness. These stories help us talk about God's faithfulness at the dinner table, in those car rides, on Sunday morning out back in the children's programming. These stories are stones of remembrance to help our children know who God is and what he's done. In verse 24, it says, "So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." The third one is this: it's not only to help us remember who God is, to pass the story to the next generation, but third is to trust him with what's next. Did you notice it's to help us know that the Lord's hand is mighty and to fear him forever? It's not just to fear him yesterday. It's not just to trust him today. It's to trust him tomorrow and the next day, forever and ever. You would trust the Lord because he's faithful. Because he's faithful. That fear that's referred to in verse 24 is this awe. It's fear that brings a surrendered life. It's a fear that says, "God, you're greater and better than I ever could have imagined. There's no one else I can entrust my life to other than you." That's the fear that he's referring to. I'm not sure what God has for you in 2026. I'm not sure what God has for us in 2026. But I do know this. One of the ways that we can strengthen our faith for tomorrow is to slow down and to look back and to remember and to allow these memories to become memorials, to be signs among us. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna invite three friends up onto the stage with me, and they're gonna come up and they're gonna share. And the first round of questions, I just want them to set up and let you know what was going on in their life. You're gonna know their faces. Some of you might even know their stories. But I want them to explain exactly what waters they were passing through in 2025. And then the second round, we're gonna come through and we're gonna find out how God was faithful in those waters. So would you welcome Francis Zapata and Sayonara Alvarez and Kevin Cole to the stage with me. Let's give a little bit bigger round of applause, because this is a very, I don't know if you've ever sat on a stage with people staring at you when you're about to get vulnerable, but it's not an easy thing, I'm going to tell you. I do this quite regularly. Y'all look beautiful, by the way, but you are a little intimidating. So this is Francis, Sayonara, Kevin. Thank you so much for being willing to share today. We're talking about the waters we're passing through. Francis, one thing I love about Sunday morning is coming in and you're sitting there smiling at me with the most wonderful smile, greeting people as they walk into this room. But I know 2025 started out as a really difficult year. Would you mind sharing with us some of the waters you were walking through?
Okay, so it was very challenging because I was new in Virginia. I just came out of fresh out of divorce. It would feel like lost. I would say that I had everything figured out. Life, it was perfect in my mind. And then things just came down the drain and you feel lost, you are afraid, you don't know what to do with your life because now you have to start all over again and now you're in a new city and you're like, what happened to me? Yeah. What's wrong with me? Like you start feeling guilty, shame, fear, scare, not knowing what was gonna be next. It was very painful. Yeah. And I was broken, I will say, in that time. Yeah.
So going through a painful divorce, you moved to this area?
Yes,
in 2025?
I did.
When?
I did. Yes. I moved like in the end of 2024. Okay. I felt like I come from Florida. I lived there for 25 years, and my life was settled there. And then when I come here, I feel like the only hope I had was my family, because I feel alone in Florida, and I was going to become a single mom. So all I felt like was like, I need to go there because I have my family, and that's all support I have. That's all I knew, that I come here because my mom was here, my cousin is here, that's the reason why I'm here. They brought me to this church, and I felt very lost. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know what was next. I didn't know because I have everything figured out, and next thing you know, I don't. And then you don't know what to do. You just can't figure it out. You lost.
Yeah. So 2025 started with a lot of uncertainty, but also hurt, some fear, loneliness. Those were the waters you were passing through. Sayonara, nobody can speak with you for about 0.5 seconds without knowing two things. You love God and you love your daughters. And I know 2025 started out with a heavy mama's heart. And would you just share with us a little bit about those waters you were passing through?
Absolutely. I am the mother of two beautiful daughters who love their mom. I am divorced and the Lord and I have raised them. Their dad has always been available. And the heaviness in my heart was in 2025, and still is a little bit, because I have two, has been raising them, loving the Lord, and teaching them to love God. Ever since they were small, I dedicated them to the Lord from the moment they were born. And knowing and actually having a conversation with them, where one of them decided to that she was not going to serve the Lord when she turned 18, and that was an open conversation that we had. And the other one said, I'm just going to think about it. So my heart was very heavy when the conversation happened. They were very open about it, because I believe we have a very good communication as mother and daughters. but my heart was broken, not understanding the why, when I felt that I had given and I had done all that I needed to do for them to continue to stay in the faith.
I know we have a good number of parents, caregivers, that have the same heavy heart. And there's no doubt there had to have been some fear, even some doubt, some confusion going on. And as you pass through those waters, I know you love your daughters so much. And those are difficult waters to pass through. Kevin, I remember the very first time somebody told me that I needed to meet you. By the way, this is our interim director of student ministry, Kevin Cole. But I remember it was summertime, and a church member said, hey, you need to get together with Kevin. He's a great guy. He and his family are here coming to NBC Loudoun. But 2025 started, I bet, in a way that was just very typical. But you had experienced some things in 2025 that you did not see coming. So share with us a little bit about those words.
Yeah, no, I remember our first conversation to you. We went out to coffee, shared a lot of our story, and then the next week you came and said, hey, let's get together again, and I'm going to ask about a job. So I do remember that first conversation as well. But yeah, 2025 started out just like the past 14 years. I was working at the same church 14 years and taking on more and more at the church. And come April, things just shifted. And it felt like in Genesis 12, where God told Abraham, get up and go to a land that I will show you. And so much of it was expecting, you know, so much of my life this past 14 years felt more like, at the end, more like here, where, okay, we know the destination, and the years might take a wandering path. It might feel like a wandering path, but I know where I'm headed. And this was one of the first times in my life where God was saying, no, I'm not revealing much of anything. I just need you to get up and go. And even this week, somebody asked me, in all that change, you can go through challenges, sadness, bitterness, anger. And somebody just this week asked, they said, are you angry at God? And I said, I don't think that's it. And then he said, do you feel abandoned by God? I'm like, that's it. That's what I feel. Just that God is calling me to something, but I don't know what. I don't know the path. I don't know the direction. Don't know where he's calling me. And I think a lot of times when you hear a testimony, you hear it while they come across the river. But a lot of, I think, hopefully, as some of you feel like you're in the middle of your testimony, you can even worship even in that waiting.
Yeah, that's so good. Amen. Amen. Those are some difficult waters. I know in a room this size, we have people walking through some difficult waters. I'm sure there's some questions, some doubt, some fear, some loneliness, some shame going on, and as they pass through these waters. So I want to circle back through, and Francis, you said you moved here. It was a lot of loneliness, uncertainty, a life that really was at a place that you did not plan. And if you could have written the story, it would have been the exact opposite. But here you were. How did God meet you in those waters? How did he get you through? And maybe what is a stone of remembrance that you're carrying into 2026 from 2025?
I would say healing. Getting closer to God brought me healing to my heart. See who I am, accept myself for who I am, and come to God and surrender and give it to God. Yeah. Like, I cannot do it alone. I just can't. And it's something that I had to learn. I had kind of like engraved on my mind that when you're walking without God, it's challenging. But when you have faith and you let God guide you, like, life is just not what you one is what it's meant to be, but it's in God's purpose. It's not on your purpose. Yeah. I can make plans, but then as soon as God throws something on the way, I feel shifted, and I feel certain type of ways, and I have learned that it's not my path. It's God's purpose, and if I accept that, the sooner I accept it, the better for me, because then I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be like, it's like changing the script. How do I change the script? Okay, I went through 3 different jobs last year, and I was like, what's wrong with me? So then I'm like, this is not me. This is God putting me through these situations to figure it out, to know where I belong, because it's not what I want. It's where God wants me to be. So that's where I feel like I found healing, accepting that. The sooner I accept it, the better for me.
Yeah, praise God. Amen. I just think about you standing back there with a smile on your face each Sunday as you welcome people into worship. And it's not because your life has been comfortable and easy.
No.
But it's because God has gotten you through some very difficult waters that you step in, and it's such a joy
to
worship alongside of you.
Thank you.
We praise God for his faithfulness.
Amen. And I'm happy to do that because I feel like just being here and smiling, welcoming people, it's not just helping others, it's helping me.
Amen.
Instead of being home and kind of like thinking about how complicated life is, I'm like, I'd rather be here. Like, I'd rather like helping somebody, talking to somebody. And what I will say that with my experience in sharing who I am and how God transformed me to this who I'm becoming, because it's a process. It's not something that you're going to get there and that's it and life is perfect. No, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just have to have faith. That's all.
Praise God. When you think about what you're, the stone of remembrance you're carrying into 2026, what if you could capture like who God has shown himself to be? Because we're not just talking about what we went through, but really who is God?
Oh,
God. How would you summarize that in just a few words?
I would say loving.
Loving, faithful,
yeah. And gratefulness.
Amen.
Finding grace. Like gratefulness in God, waking up every morning and saying, thank you, Lord, for being here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for having a job. Thank you, Lord, for having a place to live. Being grateful every day, that's what is getting me closer to God.
Amen.
So that is what it helps me.
Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
What a blessing. Sayonara, heavy heart. I know your mama's heart was praying nonstop for your daughter. Tell us how God met you in those waters and how he carried you through 2025.
Praise God. Whew. So raising my daughter is, there is a statement that I got from Joshua 24:13. As of me and my house, we serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I would tell them that all the time. And it was not in a way where they were forced to. They experienced who God was and is in our lives as they were growing up. But we'll sit at the table and pray for things, and the Lord will provide. And then we'll sit at the table again, and we'll talk about, this is what the Lord did. I make sure that I let him know he hears us. So God is our provider. God is our healer. God is our guide. Was something that was always instilled in them. So they knew who God was, and they know who God is. So praying and trusting, and just like you said, that fear that I had was a fear that turned into surrendering. I just completely surrendered myself in trusting that his promises were true and that he will come through at his own time.
Amen. And tell him, I know you have the unique blessing of having God answered those specific prayers. Tell us about how he answered your prayers.
Amen. Are you guys ready for this? Praise God. So, I have two daughters, and one of them, I told her, I asked if I could share the testimony. She said yes. They're both actually in school. They're both away in college, so I am an empty nester. So one of them went through a personal event in her life, and I remember sitting down with her and telling her, baby girl, I think this is a good time for you to come to the Lord and just tell him how you are and how you feel. And I suggested, why don't you find a community at the school, a Christian community, where you can be around other people that love the Lord? And she listened to me. She did. Mind you, my daughters are very obedient, and they love me very much. They came to church with me all the way until they were 18, 19. They knew that as of me and my house, well, we serve the Lord. So every Sunday, they were there. They were here with me. And she actually went back to school, and she found a community, and she told me about it. And when she shared that with me the first time, I was so joyful. It was just, to me, it was a small blink of what God was already doing. So I was super excited, not knowing what was going to happen next. And she continued to tell me, oh, Mom, I'm going to go to a meeting. I'm going to a Connect group. And I was super excited to know that. And one Sunday, a few minutes before I came to church, I received a text. And actually the week before, she says, Mom, I'm going to go to a youth retreat in West Virginia. And I'm like, that's fantastic. I'm so happy about it. And that Sunday, a few minutes before I came to church, she sends me a text. And she says, I'm going to get baptized today. And I said, that is wonderful. And I'm like, she's 4 hours away. I can't be there. I'm not going to make it. I was like, Lord, I just thank you so much. And I said, is there any way that I can, that you can FaceTime me or someone could for me to witness that? And they did. They did. I was sitting there looking at my phone, and someone calls me, and I stepped outside, and I see this wonderful event where she's professing Christ as her Savior, and in a very unconventional baptism, she professes Christ, and she gets baptized, and I am in tears sitting outside in the lobby just praising the Lord. And knowing that he hears our prayers.
Amen. Amen. I think we have video of that very test of that very baptism.
I grew up in the church, but I never cared to have a relationship with God. And I feel like because I never really went through anything, I didn't think I needed God. But I've just been learning, like, God wants to be with you even if you're not going through anything. Like, you don't have to struggle to be with him. Yes. So this is just my public declaration that I love God and I'm surrendering to him, that he is my Savior. Amen.
Do you renounce the schemes of the enemy over your life?
Yes. Have you professed Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes, bro.
And
yes!
Among your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Woo!
Sainoa, thank you so much for sharing. Kevin, you finished sharing just a few minutes ago, and I know the ground felt like it was taken out from up under you. Your family was in just a season of wondering and questioning and not sure how you can provide for your family, how in the world did this happen. There's just a lot there in those turbulent waters for you and your family. So just share how God met you in those waters and carried you through into 2026.
Yeah. I mean, when there's a job change, there's so much uncertainty, there's so much identity, there's so much wrapped up in that you ask God, God, give me something, give me anything. And there is, we started coming here back in, we started in May and came back in July. And it was just a sense of coming and worshiping him in a way we haven't before, where for so much we felt like being attentive like a shepherd, and it felt again like we could be a sheep. Mm-hmm. And it was just powerful to sit here, to feel welcome, to feel at home. And it was a reminder that God is faithful in the finality of a testimony, but he's also faithful in the midst of the testimony. And that was something that was challenging my faith, is not having the security that I had held on to for 14 years, but even in the midst of chaos, is recognizing the faithfulness of God, even in the uncertainty, even when you're on the shores of the raging water and not quite sure what's going to be on the other side.
So your story has a nice little bow on it, and everything's clear,
yep,
and it's
exactly.
The future's set.
Everything, no, absolutely not. No, there's still not. So we're still praying about, God, what do you have for us? And that's a lot of trusting God in those moments, in the uncertainty, and asking about, God, what do you have for us next? And so much of my life, I was called into ministry in fourth grade, so much of my life felt like I had a clear destination and direction in a way, and that's where it felt more like the promised land had been promised, and I didn't know the wandering path of what would get us there. But now it's going back to God in a new stage of life and really not sure of direction, not quite sure of where he's leading us, and just holding on to the faithfulness of God, even in the midst of like I said, uncertainty, when it does feel like the rug was pulled out from under you. Yeah. And I think it's Isaiah 40:31, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, and it talks about them mounting up the wings of eagles. Yeah. And right now it feels like he's kicked me out of the nest, and I'm waiting for the wings to kick in. You know, they haven't quite come yet.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing, Kevin. I know we love your family, and we're so thankful that God has you here and trust in what he has in the future. But I think your testimony probably is an encouragement to some who is the story is still being written. And they're still having to choose to trust God this morning, to get up and to walk by faith and obedience today. So thank you so much, not just for your leadership in our student ministry, but thank you for your example of faith and your family's example of faith. And man, we just celebrate. Y'all, can we just honor God? Celebrate his goodness. These are three different stories, the same God who's faithful. He's been faithful through the difficult days. I think about that story of the little child looking at his mom and saying, "Mom, what does God do all day long?" And the mom, with just such wisdom, looked back and said, "He mends broken things." Amen. That's just what God does all day long. He just mends broken things. And so we celebrate. Thank you so much for being a part of our worship gathering today. I'm going to invite our worship team to come on up here, and those are powerful stories, and we do appreciate God's grace that you just gave, extended into our church family. Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, "What do these stones mean to you?" then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. A memorial. That you would remember who God is. And that you would remember what he has done. And you can mark this down. God's faithfulness in the past helps us to trust him with the future. God's faithfulness in the past helps us trust him with our future. It's powerful to hear these stories, but we don't want to stop there. We want to give you a moment right where you're sitting to remember God's faithfulness in your own life. If you will, reach under your chair and you're going to find a small, smooth stone. Go ahead and grab that. Everybody have it in hand. It's our gift to you on this Sunday morning. You don't have to put it up on your shoulder and carry it out, but we do want you to carry it out. And some of us maybe can place this stone right where we meet God every morning, maybe right next to our Bible. And it can just sit there. And each time you meet with God, you can remember his faithfulness in 2025. Maybe it's sitting in next to your mirror that you get ready each morning. As you get ready, you can just meditate and consider just the faithfulness of God. Maybe it's by your bedside table. You just place this little rock there, and every single night you go to sleep, you can just glance over there and just be reminded of God's faithfulness in the past and that he can be trusted in the future. Or maybe you sit it on your desk at work. I'm not sure where it's going to be, but I want you to take the rock and I want you to place it somewhere. And I want you to remember every time you see that rock, God has been faithful in the past and he will be faithful in the days ahead. For some of us, we look back in 2025 and it would be a year of victories. I mean, new jobs, new direction, new raise, new something new in your life that you could look back on 2025 and really remember, man, God's blessing was flowing into my life. But I suspect some of us in this room are going to look back on 2025 And it's not going to be a year of victory. It's going to maybe be a year of setback. Maybe it was a difficult year. Maybe it was a year that things came to an end that you were hoping never would. Maybe it was a year of unanswered prayers. You prayed yet again for another solid year. And God just chose not to answer. I'm not sure what those setbacks are, but I don't want you to think that this rock only means that you had an awesome 2025. Some of us are going to place this rock, and every time we look at it, we're going to remember God got us through those waters. God moved us through. And listen, if you need to know whether or not he moved you through, just look at who's sitting in this room. You are. You're sitting right here. He's got you here. You woke up this morning, you took another step of obedience, and by faith, you came into this worship gathering. The faithfulness of God. We're going to put a question on the screen, and I'm just going to give you a few moments with that rock in hand, and I want you to ask God, God, what is the story of 2025? What am I carrying into 2026 that I need to remember your faithfulness? And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus, can I tell you what this rock could visibly represent? The day you put your trust in Jesus. That 2025 was a year of wandering. 2025 was a year of searching. 2025 was a year of you trying to figure things out your own way, and 2026 opened up your eyes to see, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And you place your faith in him today. We would invite you, if you've never trusted in Jesus, please, by the grace of God, place your faith in him today and take this rock home with you and let it be a physical reminder of what God has done for you. We're going to give you just a few moments, and then Jess and the team are going to lead us in response.